It started in a very grassroots way around 2008. I looked around and around, it was in my late 20s, and I realized there weren't many tappers doing what I was doing, and I had very few professional colleagues and very few interested adult students, and I wanted to find a way to bring people together. I felt like there were more tap dancers out there than I could see. So I started creating these events. I created tap jams at various jazz clubs. I was bringing in master teachers from all over the world, and I created this show called Tap Teaser, and it was just a way for people to get on stage and tap. And at the beginning, it was just tap, and then I started to incorporate more live music and jazz music. And we ended up doing that show for almost 6 years and 11 different iterations of it. So that's kind of how it started. And then I started to meet more professional people who wanted to do this for real. The company part of it really took off around 2012, 2013. And we've just been motoring along since then.
Is this all a Philadelphia phenomenon?
It is. And I'm really proud of the fact that it's homegrown here. I try to use a lot of local musicians. I use all local musicians. All of my dancers come from here. So we have this gritty Philadelphia style, I feel, that kind of permeates what we do. We're scrappy, we're stubborn, we're determined. And I like that because I grew up here and I feel like that sort of powers what I do. I'm a very determined person and I feel like you have to be super determined to tap anywhere in the world, but especially in Philadelphia.
Why, especially in Philadelphia?
Well, Philadelphia has a very rich tap history, but very few people know that. And when you walk into a room and you tap, I've had people say to me, I've never even seen tap before, and they've never even seen it on TV, they've never seen it on stage. Also, we have very few academic programs here for tap. We're not really mentoring kids to become professionals. So I'm a unique bird, and I'm always trying to sell what I do, not just to keep me going, but to keep the art form alive. I feel like I'm the one representative who can do that in this city.
You know, when we were just talking last week when we set up this interview, one of the things I kind of asked you is the response that you have when people come up to you and say, this is definitely not the tap that I'm used to. Do people say that to you?
They absolutely do. I've had people say, oh, I thought tap was dead, or I didn't think people tapped anymore. And when they see me tap, or they see some of the people I dance with tap, they're like pleasantly surprised. They're like, oh, it still exists. It's still out there. And I said, yeah, it's still out there. It's hard to find. And we're trying, but it's interesting to me. I think the sort of the same thing happens with jazz. From my perspective, I have a huge responsibility when I walk into a room because I have to represent tap dance, the whole history of tap dance, the whole history of jazz tap dance in 1 2-minute performance if I'm sitting in with a band or I'm doing something at a show. I take that extremely seriously and I honor and respect the position that I have because it might be the last time people see tap. You never know who it's going to touch when I'm in the room. Similarly, like I feel a responsibility when I'm teaching kids or I'm teaching adults because I'm not going to be here forever. So it's important for me to pass on as much as I possibly can and give them all that I have so that even if they don't become professional tap dancers, they can pass it on or pass on the love of it.
Explain to me, and you're a choreographer. How did you get there from the tap that we sort of all remember and the way you tap?
I think a lot about tap and its evolution from the vaudeville age till now, and I'm really passionate about innovating tap and what we do. I feel that all dance forms have a way of telling a story, but tap especially has this unique, wonderful ability to really engage an audience and tell a story. And we can be the visual representation of any kind of music and not only deliver a rhythm or a groove, but also a wonderful story to an audience. In jazz, there's so much that you can get out of the music just by listening to it. Like you can get joy, you can get pain, you can get frustration or anger, excitement. And we, as the bodies on stage, can deliver that. And so when I look for music or I'm trying to be inspired by different themes in my life or in the world, I think about, what can we give to the audience? It's not just beat, but also involves emotion, upper body, movement across the stage, using ensembles to create patterns or interesting counterpoints for the audience.
Does that have anything to do with the improvisational aspect of jazz?
I definitely incorporate a lot of improvisation in my pieces because I like working with people who have something to say. So even though there might be a set formation or a set idea that we're going with, a set groove, I want people to bring themselves into it. And that carries on the jazz tradition. I think there's a little bit of a difference between concert tap and the tap that you would see in a jazz club or even street tap. You know, concert tap, I think, is something that we need to expand as an art form, and what I really love doing, because I love choreography. But it's also important to me to be on the scene, meet musicians, and keep honing my skills as an improvisational artist, because that's what tap is grounded in so many ways. There's so much that we can parallel as musicians, as tap musicians, with jazz musicians. So when I'm looking for inspiration, I often go and just look up jazz musicians that inspire me and see how they're doing a solo, how they're creating a phrase. And there's always musicians that really get to me, like Charlie Parker is one of them, Jason Moran, Barry Harris, Herbie Hancock. I seem to gravitate towards pianists. And I love just researching and listening to all kinds of Philadelphia jazz musicians, because the history here is just incredible.
Well, from your point of view, then, when you do a piece, I'm getting that the music comes first. Is that correct or not?
It depends. I'm thinking about a piece I'm working on with two Jason Moran pieces, and it actually comes out of an experience I had last summer working at a summer camp and watching kids being competitive in sports, and also paralleling that with the kind of competition and challenge that we have in tap. Tap is actually really rooted in this challenge tradition where we're always trying to one-up each other. So that experience that I saw with the kids, you know, being competitive sports athletes, I was like, oh, you know, I never thought of myself as an athlete, but actually in tap, we're very competitive and we're always trying to challenge. Same thing with jazz, you know, always trying to one-up each other with solos. So that idea was in my brain, and then I heard this song and I was like, that would be perfect. You know, so sometimes it works that way. And then I try to find musicians who are willing to kind of work on an arrangement with me. I'm also very interested in this idea of breaking down tap movements into the most spare movements that we possibly can. Like, we might have tap shoes on, but we might be walking, we might be running, we might be sliding on the stage. We don't necessarily have to be hitting these complicated movements all the time. And I'm, you know, taking that risk sometimes, where is it too little? Is it not enough? But I think that, again, audiences are used to seeing a soloist in front of us on a stage doing tricks and complicated movements. And I want to say, do we need all that? Can we just be enough as artists to have on shoes and make simple sounds and have that role instead of always trying to impress? Can we express instead? It's important to honor and respect what came before in terms of our history, but we're never going to reach a new audience if we don't take risks and we don't leap off the ledge at some point and say, does this work?
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.